Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Today I'll be reading John 1 through 41. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought the Pharisees the man who had been blind.
Thank you for the gift of sharing the pulpit with you this morning. This is a very long story, and I've asked that it be broken into three sections. When I read an appointed text, whether from the narrative lectionary, which you all use, or the Revised Common Lectionary, I may interpret it a little bit differently each time I read it. The lens through which we view our life changes. It continually changes. Therefore, our understanding as we read these passages evolves. I have preached on this text several times, albeit not the entire chapter in one sitting. And I want to thank you for breaking it up into these segments so we can unpack what is happening, because as I studied this, my understanding has evolved. The first thing that struck me is how amazingly calm this story starts in chapter 9 of John. If you heard the first words, they were, "And as he walked along." I find that incredibly calm when you consider that the last verse of John 8, which was verse 59, reads, "So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." So, "as he walked along" as an opening seems a very, very calm start to this story, since Jesus just narrowly escaped being stoned to death. Be that as it may. When Jesus and his disciples first encountered the man in John 9, the disciples assumed that the man's blindness was some kind of curse or a punishment for sin. There was a common understanding in the culture at the time that disabilities were caused by sin. Though there was much debate still about exactly whose sin caused this. And Jesus clearly rejects this myth in verse 3 when he says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." And it is here that we must be very, very careful when reading these stories of healing. Because some might interpret the statement about using this man to reveal God's works to mean that the man was born blind so Jesus could come along and perform this great miracle for all to see. But if we accept that, then we accept that God uses the disabled so they can become inspirational stories, if you will. And if we accept that, then that reduces this man to nothing but a pawn to be used, and that is at the expense of his humanity. The thing is, in the ancient world, a person with a disability was prevented from working. The blind and those with other disabilities could only beg to merely survive, let alone thrive. When Jesus heals this man, he frees him from a life of begging, and he gives him a life of dignity. So much so that as you read on, he is no longer known as the blind man. When Jesus sent him to wash the mud from his eyes in the pond of Siloam, which, remember, means sent, this man becomes the one who testifies to Jesus. He is now the man sent to witness to others that Jesus is sent from God. He emerged from the pool with a sense of mission and self-worth that was foreign to his neighbors. They couldn't believe he was the same person. In fact, they said, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" His encounter with Jesus filled him with new hope and new purpose. But others weren't so sure. They couldn't accept his story, so they sent him to be examined by the religious authorities. So now let's listen to verses 14 through 27.
Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see." They asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
Now, these authorities were especially suspicious because Jesus had worked his miracle on the Sabbath, which was considered a violation of religious law. Some said, "This man, Jesus, is not of God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But still, they couldn't come to any agreement. So they pressed the man further and further and kept asking questions until he finally responded, "He is a prophet." Well, his testimony was rejected, but now the authorities are finally united in their suspicions as well as their accusations. The man's own family was questioned, and they shrank before the powerful religious leaders, intimidated and fearing the consequences of questioning that status quo. They, in fact, left him on his own. A house has now been divided over this Jesus and his power to help the needy. And the man born blind is feeling very isolated and very alone. But he soon begins to respond more and more boldly to each of these questions, to the point that the questions finally motivate him. And he says, "Do you want to be his disciples too?" Which now they've rejected that also. And in essence, he is now excommunicated. It's notable as you read this scripture that during all of this questioning, Jesus is nowhere to be found. It is also notable that many of those who are blessed by Jesus soon run into trouble in the world because the good news, it seems, isn't always good news for everybody. The good news has its detractors. But the formerly blind man who never asked to be healed is so powerful in his witness. The crowds continued to speak of him, and his story shows up again in John 10 and still again in 11. Let's hear the words from John verses 28 through 41.
Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that this is remarkable, you don't know where he comes from? Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
The man born blind, for whom we are never given a name, was driven out of his community as punishment for his testimony. And when Jesus heard about this, remember, he's been gone this whole time. But when he heard about this, he sought out the man and welcomed him. And welcomed him as many of the other unknown disciples were spreading this good news. Once again, Jesus chose a person whom society continually rejected. When Jesus said, "I come into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Jesus takes this word blind, which in his day was used as a rude label, in addition to actually being the literal designation for people without eyesight, and he turned it against the very people who were using such labels to degrade their neighbors. God's works are revealed in this passage, to be sure. But instead of a simple healing narrative, this man gets an entire chapter devoted to him. 41 verses of an entire chapter. His story reminds us the need to examine our own assumptions about the relationship between darkness and light, the relationship between ignorance and wisdom, the relationship between seeing and not seeing. This story has a powerful point. The man who was once unable to participate in society is now able to actively and fully participate. That's the healing moment. That's the healing moment. Jesus has freed him from those restrictions, and the healing has made it clear. Light comes to those who recognize that life is blindness without Christ. Darkness comes to those who without Christ claim to see. With his restored sight, came restored dignity. That is the healing moment. So I wonder how we create an environment where fear of differences is replaced by encouraging all people to share their gifts, even when God calls them to lead us in ways that threaten the status quo. I wonder how we would be different if we stop insisting on arbitrary barriers and labels like spiritual blindness, and instead begin to see the man in John 9 and all of our neighbors as real people whose witness really matters. I wonder how it would look if in a world that often pushes us to compete or conform, we actually acknowledge God's call in a different way by working together, by needing each other and recognizing the God in each other, and actually being the body of Christ. I wonder how it would be to see Jesus again for the first time through a lens that has evolved. I wonder. So be it.